Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. And now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It's actually evening, but ignore that. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this it's a brand new full episode of Gaming Uncensored, and I wish I was drinking. And of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, dude?
Not much, man. How you doing?
You are drinking, and that's why I'm jealous.
I am a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
fair. Yeah, okay. I really am. I'm telling you, you got a drink over there, and I'm not
I got these fancy new glasses for Christmas, and so I have to make use of them.
Oh, you got drinking glasses?
I got drinking glasses.
Dude, you know what's going to be great about that? Here's what's going to be great about that. When I come to your house, the adventure's going to be for me not to break the drinking glasses. Like,
that is very
seriously
true.
That's gonna be the adventure. Like, I'm the one guy on the planet that when I start drinking, it needs to happen from like a sippy cup, because because we're gonna have problems if it's not.
That would be the best. Now I'm envisioning you drinking from a sippy cup, like bourbon straight from a sippy cup. That'd be great.
I would make Stewie proud. What can I say? Stewie would think I was the coolest thing ever. And if you don't get that reference, I don't know what to tell you.
That show's been on for a freaking long time.
Yes, it is.
It's not like Simpsons territory yet. But like, we thought Family Guy was awesome like my freshman year of college. And that was a long time ago. I'm 34 years old. My freshman year of college was a ways back. And it's they're still putting out new episodes. I watch one every now and then. I definitely don't watch it like I used to. It feels very recycled to me at this point. But like, especially this is a weird thing. But anytime I travel, and I'm not sleeping in my bed and I'm not sleeping next to my wife, like I just can't fall asleep. And so I have to watch something or listen to something or whatever to kind of put my mind at ease or whatever. Eventually I'll fall asleep. And so Family Guy is kind of my go-to thing, like when I'm traveling, just to put on as background noise for me to fall asleep to. And so I've seen like half of like several episodes the past two or three seasons just when I'm traveling and need something to fall asleep to. But I haven't really watched it in a long time.
I'm glad that we are similar in that way, because you'll get a kick out of this. This is the 27th of December that we're recording this show, right? 2 days after Christmas. Christmas Eve night. I don't know if you do this, but I have this Christmas Eve tradition, thanks to Paul the Half Swiss. Every Christmas Eve, I find Die Hard somewhere, and watch Christmas Eve, watch Die Hard on Christmas Eve.
Nice.
And I won't tell you where I found it. This go around, but I got it from the getting place, and fired up Die Hard, and I feel so old because I fell asleep before it was over. But, I can tell you that I saw enough of it to know that that movie is still awesome.
Isn't it? That is a good movie.
It's a great movie.
You should watch it at least once a year.
Yes.
Like, it's one of those movies that's worth seeing once a year.
Yes. It never gets old.
No. It's fantastic. Christmas movie or not?
It totally is. I didn't realize it, but the reason that it is a Christmas Eve tradition for so many people is that that movie takes place on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm into it. That's my new yearly thing. I've done it for a few years now, and I've never fallen asleep during it, but I did this year. That's how you know I'm getting old.
Yes. So. I've done that for years, fall asleep watching TV. I will say, this is maybe a weird thing about the sexy sidekick and I. At least most other people I know, single or married, this is not true of. We don't have a TV in our bedroom. We never have. Since we've been married, we've just never had a TV in our bedroom. And so, like, when we go to bed, it's like we go to bed. We don't sit in bed and watch TV for a couple hours and fall asleep. And so I do read in bed a lot. I always have books next to the bed. But we don't watch TV in bed. So I fall asleep on the couch watching TV all the time. I have no shame about that. But, yeah, we don't have one in the bedroom.
Well, I will tell you that if I ever get a chance to live somewhere else, and eventually I guess that will happen, I have a dream of having all of my technology, all of my screens, in another room, okay? So I got the two computers, the game consoles, all that in, like, an office, and there just be nothing in my bedroom except a bed, and maybe a TV, but I'm thinking I'd even like to get rid of the TV.
Yeah.
I really would. Yeah, so
that'd be cool.
I'm thinking y'all are on the right track with that.
Yeah, I really dig it. Like, we've talked about it once in a while. Like, hey, we should maybe put a TV in the bedroom. And I'm like, nah, I don't think we should. We will watch TV from time to time while in bed, like on an iPad or something. So it's not as pure as it sounds, but it's still pretty rare. We don't do that terribly often.
Right.
Anyway, that's random news that you didn't need to know, but you do now, so there you go.
That's what we do!
That's what we do.
This is our show. It's completely and totally random. That's what we do.
I love it.
And I have to admit, for the first time in the 12-year history of this show, you people are not going to believe it. Tommy always plays games during the show. He's playing a game right now. I have no idea how he does that. For the first time in the history of this show, I'm playing a game on a browser while recording this show, and I'm scared to death. Like, seriously, this right here is why I'm not good at recording, like, voiceover while I'm playing games, because I'm trying to concentrate on the game, and I lose track of the fact that I'm supposed to say something. We talked about that during Zelda the other day, and that's really how I feel. And so if you lose me, you're going to have to, like, yell at me, like, hey, dude, pay attention! Because I might get lost.
Fair enough. Yeah. That's fair. By the way, Zelda videos, or at least the first video of the Zelda series, is up. The second one should be up fairly soon, and the subsequent ones pretty quickly afterwards. But they're all scheduled to be up on Patreon within the next week or so, with the first one being free for anybody. So you just have to go by the Patreon page, and it's just sitting there. So if you want to watch us playing Zelda for a couple hours, you can go buy a Patreon and do that. And then if you are like, hey, that was awesome, I wish I could watch some more, you can sign up for a Patreon, and there's like four or five more hours of it on there. And so, yeah, There are lots and lots of Zelda available for you to be watching. And our Star Wars review in there as well, by the way, which I saw our boy Cabbage send us a message after he saw our Star Wars review. He said it's his favorite Star Wars ever, even more than The Empire Strikes Back, which is kind of always the fan favorite. I thought that was high praise. I was really like, I loved it too. I don't know if it's my favorite one, but I really enjoyed it. But man, I was really taken aback by that. That's very high praise.
It is not my favorite Star Wars ever, but it's up there.
Yeah, it was really good. We actually, I went and saw it again yesterday, I guess. Me and the sexy sidekick went and saw it at the Alamo Draft House, which was great. I love the Alamo Draft House. But it was awesome the second time too. It totally held up. I was a little worried that it would drag, and it didn't at all. Like, it actually felt like it went quicker the second time through because I was anticipating things. And so, yeah, it held up. I enjoyed the heck out of it the second time around, which I don't watch movies more than once almost ever. Like, it's very, very rare that I'll watch a movie even twice, much less multiple times. It's one I'll watch again down the road before the next one comes out, obviously, but maybe even before then. And so, yeah, I dug it. So go by the Patreon to see that as well. A little bit non-video gaming stuff, but entertaining nonetheless. GamingUncensored.com, by the way, Patreon link right there at the top of the page.
Look at you, man. You're like drinking, you're playing games, and you sound like a complete
multitasking
pro.
Master.
Holy cow. I don't know how
you got it all going over here. Yeah. I have three screens in front of me right now. My phone's not turned on, but with the Wii, I have the Wii propped up on the rack. You'll like that. So the Switch is propped up on the rack right under my monitor, and so I have a nice like field of view for my gaming and for show notes and for recording and everything else. And so it's a good time.
Well, I have, like I said, I have the browser open, but I'm paranoid that Logic is going to stop recording. So I keep switching back and forth between desktops because you can do that on the Mac. And we love the Mac, if we haven't ever said that. We are Mac homers, and I'm really not looking forward to the day when I have to buy a new Mac because the new ones kind of suck. But I'm probably going to buy another one. I hate to say it, but I probably will. Because they're that good.
Yeah, I can't imagine why you wouldn't. Yeah.
Well.
At this point, it seems like a no-brainer, even with flaws. Like, we're Mac people through and through at this point.
Yeah, and I never thought I would be, but totally am.
Yeah. And should be, especially for production and that kind of stuff. Like, it just makes sense.
It is
just a better work system. So.
Yeah, it is the best computer I've ever had. And my sister has a significantly older Mac, and she was like, she brought it in over the weekend. She was like, this is not working well. And Tyler and I looked, and she was four operating systems behind, and I was like, yeah, there's your problem.
That'll do it.
And we updated it, and it all of a sudden got better. And I'm like, yeah, you're good to go for another year. So,
yeah.
So,
That's fair, but it does help to be on top of those things. They definitely slow down stuff as they update, and even news in the past couple of weeks of them slowing down iPhones as the battery gets older and all that fun stuff. So thanks, Apple. We will still buy your product.
Yes.
I will.
Yes.
I'm an Apple homer.
They totally own us, and I hate to admit it, but it is.
But they do.
It is what it is. But we are a gaming show, and we do have some news. So, but before
we do,
before we get to that, should we talk about what we've been playing, sir?
We should, because we've got quite a bit to talk about, actually, because we've both been playing some games, and we need to officially talk about Zelda on the show because we haven't technically done that
right yet.
So, yeah. So where do you want to start?
Let's go with Zelda. Let's do that. Because that's like the
Fair
most
enough.
Important thing.
Right. Shockingly, I haven't actually played any more of it since I got back from your place. And so I'm still waiting to see what happens with the last trial set thing, whatever it is. But we played through of the Champion's Ballad, so kind of how it's laid out. If you haven't played it yet, there's the kind of initial challenge, which is where you have the one-shot obliterator, right?
We got
the one-shot obliterator. That means that you could kill any enemy with one hit, but they also kill you with one hit because while you have it equipped, you only have a quarter of a heart remaining. So anything kills you with one hit. And if you you struggle through the freaking trial or the shrine that took me forever with the one hit obliterator, you know that well at this point. And so you go through that, and then that opens up four more kind of sets of challenges. That's one for each one of the heroes that control the beasts. And so you go back to each of the like main locations where the beasts are. And so back to Gerudo City, and then back to the Rito City, which I don't remember what it's called, but whatever the bird city is called, and the Goron area, and then the other area, the fish. What are the fish called? I can't remember the name of the fish.
Zora.
Whatever.
Zora Kingdom.
Zora, thank you. Yes. You go back to the Zora era. And so we did three of those. We haven't done the Goron one yet. But what happens is you go to each area. You talk to Cass, the accordion playing bird guy, right? Who tells you some ballads about the heroes and opens up some new things you have to go find, little things you have to do to open up new shrines and then do new shrines. And then ultimately you get to replay the boss fights, which we'll talk about that more in a second, but maybe not the best mechanic. And then once you get done with all of that, all four of those, that's apparently when you get the motorcycle, because that's what everybody really cares about is getting the motorcycle.
Oh.
So we sat down and played through. Right. looking forward to the motorcycle when we get through that. So we sat down and played through that first one, obviously, and then played through the three of the four together. And so I'll be really brief, and I'll let you jump in here. It's fun because it's more Zelda and it's more shrines, and shrines are fun. Though it gets pretty repetitive, especially going back and fighting the bosses again. Not my favorite thing, but other than that aspect of it, I'm digging it. It's fun. It's Zelda, and I love this game so much.
You're being nice because it's very repetitive, and I, you know, like I'm like, okay, I can deal with this, and then we got through one guy, and I'm like, all right, okay, and then we get through the second guy, and I'm like, okay, this sucks a little more. And then we get to the third guy, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm starting to get a little grumpy. It's okay, like it's good, but we didn't pay enough. I mean, the DLC is $20, right? And so
right.
That's not.
Which includes the first DLC as well,
right.
the Trial of the Master Sword DLC.
So, which, by the way, was much better. But theoretically, you paid $10 for this. There's $10 worth of gameplay here. You get your $10 worth. I'm just not a huge fan of the mechanic.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I do enjoy more shrines, right?
Yes.
Like, if there was one thing I could have added to the first DLC, it would have been give me some more shrines to go along with this, and then it would have been even better. It would have been really great. Though it was pretty great with the Trial of the Master Sword. Just that gameplay element was really fun, as we've talked about a lot before. That was just a fun gameplay element to work through, and so it stood alone well, even though it wasn't perfect. This feels a lot more like a continuation of the main game than something new and special, which is what the Trial of the Master Sword felt more like. And so the good and the bad around that, the good being that the original game, the vanilla game, is so well executed and so fun, and the environments are so cool, like it does more of that. And so it took us back to places that I love, getting to go to all these different environments again, having a reason to go back and explore some more, and even see a couple places I hadn't seen before. There was a couple times we were walking around that I was like, I don't remember this, you know? And then we like start exploring and messing around with stuff. We're like, oh, here's something new, like just that I hadn't seen before.
Right.
Which is cool. That's part of the greatness of this huge, massive world that it's in. But yeah, you're right. It gets boring in that repetitiveness. The mechanic with refighting the bosses is just really lazy feeling, right?
Yeah.
Like they're slightly different in that you're given only a couple weapons and like no armor, you don't have your food and all that kind of stuff. And so it's very much like the Trial of the Master Sword or the Island in the vanilla game. So it has a little bit different feel, and then it has this weird vignette view that you're looking through because it's like a flashback kind of thing. It's like facing your fears or whatever. But honestly, and this is, I go back and forth about Breath of the Wild, whether or not it's my favorite Zelda game, because it's awfully close. It and Ocarina of Time are the two that are the best. And then there's like another tier down that's really close, but not quite there. We're like Link to the Past is whatever. But I keep going back and forth. And this is the one thing. If Breath of the Wild had good dungeons with good boss fights, it would be no competition. That's the biggest flaw, especially from it being a Zelda game, is that the beasts didn't really feel like dungeons. And the boss fights were just kind of lackluster. They just, I don't know why they didn't feel like the epic boss fights. But like, this is the thing. Like, if I went back and played Ocarina of Time right now, I know how to do those boss fights, right? Like, that I played 20 years ago or whatever, like I can work through those boss fights. So in fact, I've done this relatively recently because I picked it up on the 3DS and played through it on the 3DS. And so I went back and played through a lot of those boss fights and remembered how to do them. We were struggling because I couldn't remember the tricks to these boss fights because they're just not that memorable. And we cheated a couple of times and had to like look up like, what are we doing wrong? Why can't we get this boss fight done? Just because the mechanics weren't as intuitive or weren't as fun or as interesting or whatever. Maybe, I don't know. I know you agree with me on that point. I don't know if other people agree with me on that point. But I feel like as a lifelong Zelda fan, the very first game I remember falling in love with as a kid was a Zelda game. Like, it's just that Zelda has been rooted in me since I was able to hold a controller. I've played just about all of them, and this one fell short in that one place. That's always been a hallmark of Zelda. It's always been one of the things that Zelda really does. If it hadn't done that really well for 30 years, then maybe this one wouldn't feel like it's lacking in that way, but it does. And so to recycle that one thing out of the game that felt like it was lacking and making me do it again, yeah, it was a bummer. It was a letdown. I'll use a little stronger language too now. That part of it sucks.
Yeah, thank you. Seriously, we're not complaining about this because we're talking about a piece of DLC that is essentially $10. And I'm gonna say it again: you get your money's worth. It is
right.
It is.
So we've already spent 7 hours in it, right? Like, we have 7 hours of video of us playing it. So we'll get 10 hours out of it. It seems like fairly easily. Yeah, totally worth it.
Absolutely. I mean, I have no complaints as far as that's concerned, but I know how we felt at the end of the Trial of the Master Sword. This ain't that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And even, absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely right. There was something about both playing through it and then that accomplishment when you were done with it that, like, man, I felt like I did something. And, like, it sucked me in so much. Like, I remember very vividly playing that. It was 4th of July, like, that weekend, the day of 4th of July, because it sucked me in so much that, like, it was I played that more focus and more intently than I usually play games, in part because it kind of necessitated that, the whole game mechanic of the Trial of the Master Sword. Like, if you die once, you start over, and it sucks, you know? Like, it demanded some focus out of you. And so it was intense, and it was adrenaline pumping, and it was all that stuff. And this one is the opposite of that in a lot of ways, because most of the time and most of the content that's in this new one is shrines. And only one of them was a combat shrine, and it was really only kind of a combat shrine, because after you did the combat part of it, there was a puzzle afterwards, and so it wasn't really a combat shrine. And so they're all puzzle shrines. And the thing about the puzzle shrines is they're pretty laid back. You know, you kind of take your time with them. You work through them. You figure them out is kind of piece by piece. It's methodical, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. I love the shrines in Breath of the Wild. That's the best part of the game. but it's a different feel. Like if they would mix that in with some more exciting kind of stuff. One of the first things we did, the very first of the champions ballads that we went to, was the Gerudo area, and we went to the Yiga clan hideout. And we had to go back and, like, Metal Gear sneak through the Yiga clan hideout again, which in the first time you do that in the main quest line, like, is so intense, and it was pretty challenging. It was one of the more challenging parts of the game. And so going back and doing that was really fun, and it was exciting. But a lot of the rest of those little things, like the how you unlock the shrines, were kind of lame. Like, especially the Rito ones, like the bird area ones, like two of them were just shooting stuff, and like you had to shoot a dragon, and then you had to shoot some targets while floating. And both of those, like, were just about instantaneous. Like, I didn't have to try twice on either one of those. Like, it was just pretty quick. Like, oh, yep, did it, done.
And those were kind of... One of those that caught me off guard was something that we had already done in the vanilla game. Like,
right.
One of those challenges was like, I looked at you and I was like, I think we did this the first time we were here.
It's the target shooting at the flight range. And I think in the main quest line, you have to like shoot three targets while you're floating or something like that. I don't remember exactly what it was. But you did something very similar. This time you had to shoot four while floating. And it wasn't hard, you know, like especially if you have the full stamina, because you could float there for quite a while and line up your shots and take your shots. It just wasn't hard. Like, it just wasn't a challenge. Like, it was like, oh, yeah, I know where that is. You show up, you do it, and you unlock the shrine. And this shrine's fun, but there could have been some more action kind of alongside that to make that element of it a little bit more exciting. The Rito one was overall pretty disappointing, which bummed me out because that's my favorite area. I really enjoyed that part of it. But it was two shooting things that were really easy and then a shield sled thing that was a little more fun. I had to do it a couple of times, which we had a good time with. On the video, one of the most hilarious parts and saddest parts of the video happens in the shield sledding portion, which was a lot of fun, but the other ones were kind of let down from that.
Yeah, and look, I don't know. I feel like we're trashing it, and we're not, because, again, totally worth the money. It's more Zelda, and that's great. One thing that we have to talk about that's a positive is your reward for getting through these. Because I'm excited about your reward.
Me
because
too.
That tells me there's going to be more Zelda. And
yes.
I'm all about that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I want to... What they do to as a reward for this is they make your powers regenerate faster. So, like, Meepa's Grace that refills your life, it basically gives you an extra life. Or
it's like a fairy.
The Rito ability, which allows you to catch the wind and fly, The Gerudo ability, I can't remember which one that one is.
It's the one when you're blocking that he, like, does damage if you get hit while you're blocking, which is super handy.
Right. So all of those, basically what they did is allowed them to recharge much faster, which allows you to use them more often. And I'm excited because why would you do that? It's like charging up the Master Sword in the Trial of the Master Sword. We use the crap out of the Master Sword in this.
Let me interrupt you, though, because like, I had the same thought. But now when I'm thinking through it, we didn't really. Like, we didn't really utilize the Master Sword that much in all that gameplay. Because the first part of it with the one-hit obliterator, you're using the one-hit obliterator. So by definition, you're not using the Master Sword. So that first little portion, you don't use it. And then so much of the rest of it, between the shrines and the ways that you unlock the shrines, aren't combat-related. A couple of them are, so we did use it some. It's not that we didn't use it at all.
Right.
But I would say most of the ways that you unlock the shrines and all of the shrines... don't have a combat component to them, or have very little combat component, obviously, when you're running across the world and all that kind of stuff. So there's where, like, we had to fight the sand monster thing again, which, by the way, was also a recycled, like, mini-boss fight. A fun one. That's a much better boss fight than the actual boss fights in the game are to me. But still, it was recycled. It wasn't new. It was a little harder than it was the original time through, but another recycled component. But even that, that was one of the times when we used a weapon, and we used the Master Sword to get through. But a lot of it wasn't combat related. So we really didn't use the Master Sword all that much after going through all that work to charge it up. Sorry, that just dawned on me. Like, while you were making that point, I was thinking through the same thing in my head. And so now it worries me a little bit about how much we're going to need this new stuff for more content coming down the road.
Well, I think you're correct, and now I'm getting depressed as we talk about it.
I know. I'm so sorry.
But I really feel like that there's no reason for them to do that unless there's going to be more DLC.
Yes.
Which I'm excited about. Like,
yes,
we're still at that point. Like, if they say, give us $20 more and we'll give you more DLC, it's like, where do we sign? Like, there's no question that they're going to get that money. They're going to get your money, Patreon people, because you support us.
Right.
but this is one of those things that if we didn't have Patreon and you guys weren't supporting us, we would not hesitate to pay for it ourselves.
Yes.
And that's what I'm most excited about, is that they are pumping up these abilities, theoretically, because there's going to be a new DLC. And you said something in the video that I really liked, in that maybe for the new DLC, they should take a World of Warcraft approach and give us a new continent. Or
yes,
a new area, like the Great Plateau.
Yes. Yeah, this is my suggestion if you're listening, Nintendo, of what you should do. I will pay you $20 for this, no questions asked. Give us a new area, be it an island or part of another continent. Because you know, like, when you get to the edge of the map, especially like on the north side of the map or on the other edge where there's not the ocean, the west side of the map, I guess, that, like, you can see across, like, there's a big chasm with, like, a river running down there or whatever, but you can see across to the other side that there's, like, more land that exists. It's not, like, floating everything out in the middle of an ocean. So let us go over there, or a big island or whatever. But give us new area to explore, because that's the best thing about Breath of the Wild, is the exploration and the environments. So give us a cool new area that looks different, that's a different vibe than what the rest of the game is. And give us at least one, maybe two, like, truly Zelda dungeons. Maybe don't give us shrines this time.
Give us a temple.
Let's combine all that.
Give me
that,
a temple.
Yeah, give me a temple that combines all that shriney stuff, like all the puzzle solving and all that kind of stuff, but into a big, complex backtracking. Like, this is one of the things with early Zelda games, is there's so much backtracking in those temples. So you gotta go find a key or the compass or map or whatever, and then you gotta go back, and then you get an ability or a weapon, and then you gotta go back to use that somewhere else or whatever. Give us one of those that has all the kind of cool shrine stuff in it, but is big and rich and deep and has a mini boss and has a big challenging boss at the end of it that is fun, and not like the Ganon bosses, the Blight Ganon bosses from this time around. And like, just give us that final bit of Zelda payoff that Breath of the Wild doesn't quite have yet. And I don't think like it's not that it would be outside of the spirit or the feel of this Zelda game to do that. You know what I mean? Like it could be that it would feel weird. I don't think it would. You know, like, I think it would fit within kind of the canon of this standalone Zelda game.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about this new title, is that they threw a lot of stuff away, right? So this is basically a new twist on the Zelda type thing. And so you can do a lot of stuff that you couldn't do before. Like, you could very easily do an ancient temple. Yes. Where
Frick
you
yeah.
know, where you had the where you had this temple with all of this new tech that uses the Sheikah Slate and yeah. all of that. Like, I mean, because think about where Link wakes up at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
Nobody ever explains, like, how the crap did that get there? Like, right. like we've been dealing with all of these ancients and killing these guardians and all of this stuff, but we still don't really know what their deal was. Like, Link basically comes out of a stasis pod, and it's like, wait, that's new. Like,
right.
It's like Space Age Link. And so there's a ton of stuff that you can do to really, really expand this.
And yeah, including adding like powers to the Sheikah Slate. I cannot say that. Sheikah Slate. Like, bring back, again, I hate to keep going, like, bring it back to like what Zelda is in my head. But bring it back to what Zelda is in my head, for crying out loud, because I've been playing Zelda forever. I know what Zelda should be. But, like, give us, like, a grappling hook, you know? Like, give us a mechanic that works like that, which I love, like, how the bombs work in this game. I love. You know I love these. I blow myself up all the time. Like, I love having unlimited bombs.
Worst just, Bomberman like, ever.
Terrible, but I love them. It's so much fun. Like, I dig that. I dig the magnesis thing. I dig the stop time thing. Like, those are fun mechanics, and I appreciate that they put them in there. But give us a couple new mechanics as well. It doesn't necessarily have to be something that's been done before. I'm just a sucker for nostalgia, and so the idea of grappling hook makes me very happy. But it could be something completely different. Like, give us a new, different type of mechanic, a reverse time mechanic or whatever. I don't care. But give us something fresh and new that adds to the puzzle-solving nature of the game, as opposed to just trying to make the puzzles a little bit harder, which is really what the bulk of this expansion is with new shrines. These shrines are challenging. Like, they're big shrines. Like, they're really well-put-together shrines. And so they take some work, but they're mostly recycled mechanics. There's not really much new from them, and the new stuff is pretty sparse. It's not very fleshed out. And so, like, it's doing a lot of the same stuff the same way, just on a little bit bigger level. Give us something new. Give us new stuff to do in this game. And I would dig it. I'm going to play whatever they put out. Again, it's one of my favorite games ever. I just love the title. Even as much as we're complaining about some of the issues with this DLC. I'm going to finish it, and I'm going to play some more of it, too. I did. I have to admit, I played a little bit of Zelda without you. I think it's the only bit of Zelda. I think I played a little bit of Zelda without you before, too. But then I was sitting at my in-laws and was like, I just need to play something for 20 minutes. And so I picked up the Switch and played Zelda for 20 minutes to go get the ancient horse armor, the bridle and the saddle. Which allows you to call your horse essentially anywhere. You don't have to have it nearby. Now, so now I can call Snow, my beautiful white horse, from anywhere, which is
now
cool.
Where was that? Where did you pick that up? Because
it was at a place that I hadn't been before, at least didn't remember going before. I hadn't been before. There was a new fairy there that I hadn't ever seen before that lets you resurrect horses, which I didn't know your horse could die. And so I was like, ah, you know, like, that's cool, that's sad. It's kind of on the south side of the map. There's like a horse god bridge, and then there's a kind of a spring back behind it. That one of the, it gave you a couple of hints, like you went and there was a book. This is a cheesy mechanic, by the way. You have a mini side quest just automatically once you buy the DLC. It gives you a bunch of side quests about, you know, new stuff. And it's like,
oh,
go
okay,
to
so
this,
it was one of the side quests. Okay.
Right. And so you go to one of the stables, and you're like, hey, I'm looking for this horse armor. And somebody's like, hey, there's a book sitting over there. Go check it out. So you're like, go look at the book. And the book's like, yeah, here's a couple of hints. Figure it out. And it just, like, I was like, oh, there could have been, like, some cool narrative or backstory there, but no, it's just a book sitting on a table that gives you a couple of hints of where to find it. So one of them's like, there's a cherry tree on a mountain, and you gotta go find it. And then there was one that was about a spring and a horse god bridge or whatever. And so, but yeah, it was, you know, it was just 20 minutes of running around in the game that was fun because I just love running around in the game. There's not a game that I've ever played that I just love running around in as much as I do Zelda. And that's like Grand Theft Auto, right, is a game that I just love running around in. Like Grand Theft Auto is fun just to spend an hour, like, driving and running over people and getting chased by the cops and, like, not doing anything, like, not having any purpose in the game except exploring and seeing what you can find and trying not to die. Zelda's very much a game like that. Like, I feel like a big chunk of the game was actually that. Like, you would do a couple of things, and then you'd be like, well, what am I going to do next? Let's run this direction and see what happens. You know, like, it's a game that rewards you so much for just setting out and then, like, scratching the curiosity itch when you see something. Like, there's just so much to it you have to look for, but it rewards you when you look for stuff. It's a fun game like that. And so just getting an opportunity to run around a little bit more and see places that I hadn't seen before, which is crazy because we've spent, I don't know how many hours, 40, 50 hours in that game. And there's still new stuff. Like, there's still stuff we haven't found. It's exciting and a really cool aspect of it. So I'll do that some more. I'll just go run around for an hour or two, just kill some time in Zelda at some point, which is...
Well, I, you know, like... I'm not going to begrudge you the fact that you ran around for 20 minutes without me. I'm not going to begrudge you of that. But now I want to see that horse armor because
Like, it does look cool.
I'm like, is this better than the Oblivion horse armor? That's what I want to know. Because that was,
it definitely
that
is.
Was the thing. Like, 10 years ago,
it was a huge thing.
Oblivion horse armor.
The original microtransaction. Ugh,
yeah.
Horse armor.
That is right.
Good times.
So,
you kids are too young to know about that. Back in our day.
Yeah, back in our day.
Horse armor.
Which by the way, we need to, when we get done with the, with all our gaming stuff here, we need to go off script for a bit. I know we have news, but something happened today that I want to talk to you about. So remind me of that, because it's a topic that comes up every once in a while on this show, and I'm very interested to talk about what I saw and kind of parenting in the new millennium. So
interesting. Yes. Yeah, I'm intrigued now.
So
we'll definitely have to revisit that. Let me take us off track a little bit here, just out of order a little bit, because our first news story just ties in so well here. And so let's go ahead and kind of talk about it, and then we'll circle back around to stuff we've been playing as well. But the news story is that confirmation of development of the next Zelda game that is out there now. It was part of a note that was in the Breath of the Wild Masterworks, the official art book for the game, which is
can
cool,
we
whatever.
Get that?
What
right? Are the, can like, we get one of those?
That would be cool. I'll look it up on Amazon, see how much
it
costs.
Is that a hardcover, like coffee table book?
That would be cool.
Ooh.
It's a beautiful game. It's just, again, for the Switch to have that as a launch title. Just insane. Like, so much of the success of the Switch is owed directly to the fact that they had that as a launch title, which was smart on their part. So good job, Nintendo, with that. So all that being said, officially there's a new Zelda in the works. We're not going to see it for a long time. And I hope we don't see it for a long time. I'm not done with this one yet. Give me more DLC. I want to do more Breath of the Wild because, again, Breath of the Wild was one of the best Zelda games ever. The next one probably won't be. Like, let's be honest about that, right? Like, every game in the series can't be the best game in the series, usually. And so, like, for a franchise that's been around as long as Zelda, it's a good chance that the next actual game that they put out will be a step back. Hopefully not. I want it to be better. But there's a good chance that it won't be. Like, let's just be realistic about that. So, all that being said, what do you want to see in the next Zelda game? What would you like for them to do next time. Because Zelda's a franchise that doesn't, like, do sequels. Like, the other games really directly tie together in a true sequel way. They're all based on the same lore, but they all feel a lot different. And so it's pretty wide open on what this next Zelda game should be. So what do you think it should be?
I'm going to say something that I should never say on this show because I'm supposed to be informed. But I'm going to be honest and say I have no freaking idea. Like, I have absolutely no idea. You know what I want? I want Breath of the Wild 2. Like, that's I know, right? Like, I don't, like, you could go off the rails and do something completely different. You could do Steampunk Zelda, and I'll probably still buy it, you know? Like, you can get,
definitely.
You can give Link some goggles, and you, like, you could do some weird stuff, and I'd probably still buy it. But really, really, really what I want is Breath of the Wild 2. Like, that's what I want. Other than that, I don't have a clue.
Yeah, I will 100% agree with that sentiment. Because, again, I love the game. But I might have said this on one of the videos. I mentioned it to you at some point. I just don't remember if we were rolling when I did or not. What I want to see, what I think would be fun and interesting and would throw the franchise on its head, is I want to see a Zelda game where you play as Zelda and you have to rescue Link. I think it's time for a Legend of Zelda where the feature character is Princess Zelda and not Link. Because forever, people think you play as Zelda in the first place. And so whatever. But I think that would be a way to add some freshness to the franchise that could be really interesting and cool. And make it stealthy and not as combat oriented. I'm thinking, like, now I'm going off the rails once my brain got spinning on this, but I'm thinking like Zelda meets Dishonored, not in the kind of gory, bloody and craziness, though that would be cool too. Give us an M-rated Zelda game. That would be fun. Assuming it's not that, give us like a you have to tactically get around to enemies and use powers to take down enemies as opposed to like running in with short sword and shield and bow and arrow and that kind of stuff. I think that could be really cool. I think that would be a new, fresh way to approach the franchise that would, again, be something very different than what it has been in the past, but I think could make it fun. And then ultimately, when you're trying to follow up one of the most successful titles in the franchise, one of the top two most successful titles in the franchise, I feel like you should do something a little bit different. I think, honestly, one of the downfalls of Majora's Mask, even though it was a lot different than Ocarina of Time and some of the gameplay mechanics, was that it still felt a lot like Ocarina of Time. You know, like it felt like the follow-up to Ocarina of Time. And it's a great game, but I don't think it gets the respect that it deserves in that it was the follow-up to Ocarina of Time. And there are people that will actually argue that it's better. It's a little bit tighter of a game, for sure. I think that trying to do something in the same vein after a big success like that's a little bit shooting yourself in the foot. So I think they should go a different direction and make it crazy. Make it Zelda. Be Zelda. I think that would be fun.
You got that Wonder Woman thing going on in your head. Like, Wonder Woman has quite literally changed a lot of things in culture. Well,
like, just right now, we're in kind of an era of women are awesome. To be fair, we should always be in an era of women are awesome because women are awesome.
Yes.
But especially right now, it feels like we're in an era of women are awesome, even with Star Wars. Women are awesome in the new Star Wars movie. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, that Wonder Woman feel.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that, but I'm also scared to death of that. Because you could royal, like, that could very, we just played the best Zelda game ever. That could be the worst ever. Like, very yes. Easily, that could be the worst game in the franchise. And that yes. Terrifies me.
It would be taking a risk, for sure.
Yes.
But I would actually, I would put the odds on Zelda being the lead character in the next Zelda game at definitely more than zero. I would put it at like 25% or something like that, which I think is pretty high. right? Of a franchise that's really only had one protagonist in 30
years.
Yeah,
I was going to say,
seems crazy.
If you go higher than 30%, you're fired. Because
right.
that's crazy.
I agree with that. But I think a 1-4 shot, I think that's realistic. I think it's something they've at least talked about. I would be shocked if the conversation hadn't come up.
What I wonder is if, because what we don't talk about a lot is that Nintendo is a Japanese company, right?
Right.
Can a Japanese company get away with that? Because the culture over there is very, very, very different. Let me rephrase. I know they can get away with it because they're Nintendo. My question is, do they have the stones to do that? Because
right.
because women are awesome in 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 countries in the world. And they're where they've always been in the rest of the world. So,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
Absolutely. That's fair.
Like, I don't want to put a damper on it because I'm right there with you. Women are awesome, and that would be really cool to see. But I think it would be really gutsy for Nintendo to do. And it could blow up in their face.
Yes, absolutely. I will say this. My favorite game of all time is a Japanese game, Final Fantasy VI/III, depending on if you're Japanese or American version of it, has a female protagonist.
Yes.
The main character in the game revolves around a female character, though there are a lot of other characters, and so ultimately the way I played it, because I'm a man, it's like always with one of the male characters, the thief character. I can't remember their Locke, I think it was his name, his default name. That was a game where you could change all the characters' names. Remember when that used to be a thing, by the way, where you can name all your characters whatever you wanted to name them before voice acting made it where you can't do that?
Right.
So I remember, like, Final Fantasy VII, it was just, like, me and all my buddies, like, we just used our names for all the characters, or, like, stupid names. But whatever. That's a good game, a fantastic game, in my opinion, that has a female lead that was a Japanese game. I did just Google Japanese games with female protagonists, and there are not – there are several. I won't say there aren't any. There just aren't a lot that were – necessarily big deals over here, and so it might actually be the inverse that, like, it might be a little bit easier to pull off in Japan than it would be here. I don't know, but that's a possibility. A couple other ones that came up in the Final Fantasy franchise is Final Fantasy X-2 has 3 females at the center of it. There are no main male characters in that game. And then Final Fantasy XIII, of course, also has a female protagonist. And there's a handful of other ones, like I said, that aren't as maybe well-known. Like Star Ocean 2 apparently did. Wild Arms 3.
Nah. Right.
Like, those are games I didn't play. And I don't feel like made a huge a lot of impact in the States, but were definitely bigger deals in Japan. So I don't know. It's an interesting question.
Right. And like, I mean, that's the thing, is that we're going to be wondering about this thing for the next 2 years, because, you know, we ain't going to see it next year at E3, and we may not see it the next year at E3. And so we're going to be wondering for a very long time.
Yeah, that's perfectly fair. Let me mention another one. I just was looking at a list of games. Metroid, obviously. It's a big Nintendo title as a female protagonist. Now, of course, the kicker with Metroid is the original game. You didn't know she was a female until the very end, and so it kind of is antithetical in that way. But that's an interesting question of what are the best games or the best franchises with female protagonists. man, obviously Horizon's a big one. That's now a big deal. We actually have a segment from our boy Brigham here in just a second about Horizon. I would put Metroid into that category as well. We obviously think of Tomb Raider in there. Man, what else is there that's a big deal with? I know there's a billion that we're missing that people are yelling at their phones or whatever you're listening to us on right now.
Parasite
The Longest
Eve.
Journey.
The Longest Journey.
Yes, Parasite Eve. That's a good one. Beyond Good and Evil, which is coming back, and we'll have a female lead in the new one as well, it looks like. So
there's a few. Yeah.
There are a few. It's not nearly as representative of the female even audience of gaming, I'm sure, but obviously the female makeup of the world, which, to be honest, they outpace us, right? Like, there's more women in the world than there are men in the world, and so yeah, should be a little bit higher representation. So.
That
was an interesting aside.
That's kind of depressing that there's more women in the world than there are men. And I haven't really found one that'll put up with me. What is that?
Yeah, they don't have to. Supply and demand, my friend.
that's
a bummer.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're getting a kick out of that, buddy.
so sorry.
I'm telling you, I'm really the entertainment on this show.
Yes.
But back to this deal before I go kill myself. I really like. I feel like they can do whatever they want to do. It's just gonna be.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a question of. The one thing they can't do is not suck. They can't suck. They gotta.
Yeah.
Like, it can be okay, but it can't be awful.
Yep.
If it's awful, then they got problems.
Yeah. But to be fair, what Nintendo's really good at is, especially for their franchises, for like their well-known franchises, they don't put out awful games. Like, even their less-than-great games are still good, you know? Like, they don't miss very often. Nintendo is maybe underappreciated as just a constant source of good software, you know? Like, just putting out good, polished, solid, finished games that aren't buggy, that play how you expect them to play, that just for the most part feel good, even with like quirks, like playing Mario Odyssey has some of the same like weird camera things, though not nearly to the extent of Super Mario 3D did, 64 did. But even those things that we complain about with Nintendo games years later, aren't really that big of a deal. You know, like, it doesn't really hinder the gameplay all that much. Like, they just put out, for the most part, really solid games. And so I'm pretty confident whatever they do, it's going to be good. It just may not be great. Breath of the Wild was great. It's going to be hard to follow that up with something that's that level of great.
And like I said, as long as it's not awful, I think they'll be fine.
I agree.
I'm really worried about that because nobody expected this game to be what it was.
Yeah.
Nobody expected this to be one of the greatest games. Forget Nintendo games, but one of the greatest games ever made, right?
Instant classic.
Yes. So nobody expected that. And so now we're waiting on the next one going, man, Breath of the Wild was great. This next one's, I can't wait to get more. It's going to be awesome. And then it's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
You're absolutely right.
So. That's.
Anyway.
I'm very afraid of that.
Yes. I think that's fair. In 2 or 3 years at E3, when we actually see a little bit of it, I'll be really interested to see what direction they're going. And of course, with Nintendo, you know that the very first thing we're going to see is like the littlest of tiny teasers that gives us no information to leave us speculating for a year. And then the next year, they'll actually give us some content. So that'll probably be completely different than what they showed us before. Remember that first like high-def Zelda that they showed us at E3, the tech demo
the
at E3?
One Zelda,
year,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Like that never became a thing. Like, that's not Breath of the Wild, you know? Like, that's not where they ended up with that game. And it just wasn't, like, they showed it off. And we're like, oh, yeah, we want that. And they were like, cool. And then they never gave it to us. But they gave us Breath of the Wild, which was amazing. So we're like, okay, we'll go along with that.
You remember.
But, yeah, that's very much what we could see E3 2 years from now.
You remember that the game that we got after that was Wind Waker. And we all went, what the crap?
Wind Waker, by the way, fantastic Zelda.
Yes.
Just great.
But it was the exact opposite of what everybody was hoping for.
Yes, it was very, very different, but very cool. By the way, Nintendo, put that out on the Switch. Like, put Wind Waker out. Like, you don't even have to update the visuals on that game. It was so pretty, that cel-shaded thing. Like, it would hold up today. Put that thing out on the Switch, guys. Be cool.
Yeah, here's hoping that they're listening to us. And,
no joke. And, we're giving them all kinds of advice on this show.
And if they're listening to us, why the crap aren't we sponsored by Nintendo? Because we should be.
We'll completely be homers for you.
Yeah, we would.
We promise.
We would, absolutely. We lose.
We get accused of being Nintendo homers already, so hey.
We'd lose every single listener we got, and we probably wouldn't care.
We'd love it all the way. So, all that being said, we do have a segment from our boy Brigham, so we're going to play that. That's about Horizon, which is another fantastic game that we need to play more of. And so we'll play that. We'll come back. We'll talk about it. We'll also talk about the other games we've been playing and get into the news. There's not a ton of news at the end of the year, but there is some. So we'll get into that. But for right now, here is our boy Brigham.
What's up, Jamie and Tommy? I am just wordless on this game, Horizon Zero Dawn. I know you guys have been playing it, and I finally decided to get it on the PSN. And just, oh my god, I'm actually playing it right now as I'm recording this. This game is by far the most gorgeous game I've ever seen on a console. I've always loved and had a weakness for games, even no matter how bad or broken the game may be. If it's apocalyptic or a game that nature has taken over, there's so much foliage. I've just always loved that aesthetic, and this game knocks it out of the park. Unfortunately, so many big, wide-open games there have a lot of empty space. That's how they can have the high performance. Guerrilla Games, their first game, I don't know how they did it. But for them to make this game as their first game, and then to take this kind of advantage and look this good with this much content, and this big of a map, it is just jaw-dropping. I have yet to find anything bad about this game. I haven't had any broken moments. Now, I am fairly late into the game in the sense of buying it, but it is just flawless. For anyone who could ever think this game is bad, I don't think anyone ever has, but if anyone does, they're flat out moron. This game is flawless and by far one of my favorites now. Also, the atmosphere is so good. I just can't believe it. Like, I don't want to keep saying it over and over again. I'm sorry, but it's so good. So, I thought I had to get my little 2 cents. And the game, the controls are so good, too. The graphics are superb, as we already know. Sound effects. The animations of the robotics to animals is really good, as well. If you want to see some amazing photography, there's a guy on Instagram who actually is just look up Horizon Photographer, and you'll find some amazing artwork. He just uses the in-game camera, and it looks like, oh my god, this guy's like actually in the game taking professional photos, and it's so good. This guy, it's flawless. This game is 10 out of 10. There's nothing bad about this game. I haven't played that many games that came out this year. which may not qualify me for choosing a game of the year. But also, I also choose based on games of what I've played. So fuck everyone else. and this game knocks it out of the park. Superb. Deuces. That's it. Happy Thanksgiving. And someday I'll get this stopped. There we go.
Hello. It is me. You should check out BammingUncensored.com. When you go there, we will have cake for you, and a party, a big party, where all your friends will be, including your best friend, the Companion Cube.
Yeah!
I knew you'd like that.
I dig it!
We heard a lot of Zelda accordion music last week.
After playing that, I wondered out loud to you how much the guy that played the accordion on Zelda got paid. Like, what does an accordion player get paid? You and I deal with musicians all the time. I have no idea what an accordion... I have no idea what scale is for an accordion player. Like,
me neither.
I have no... But that's great. And hey, Brigham, I'm telling you right now, you have to play games in every single segment you send us from now on. That was easily the best segment we have heard from you. That was awesome.
I dug it.
You got to do that more often, bro.
I love the fact that he sounded like us when we were playing Zelda, and that you'd like just get caught up in the game and like you just forget, like, oh yeah, I need to keep on talking about this awesome game that I'm playing right now.
Absolutely. That is cool.
And he's absolutely correct. Horizon is phenomenal. One of the best games that came out this year. Just great.
It is absolutely fantastic. I cannot wait to play more of it. I'm depressed about the fact that I'm not going to see you until E3. I have no idea how we're going to do that, because we got so many games to play that we had a couple of days at Christmas to sit and play games. I don't know how, but that has to happen more often. We can't go all the way to E3. And not do that. We got too much stuff to play, too much stuff to talk about. We were talking about might have been off the air, I don't remember. But we were talking about the fact that you are now up in your job to have the ability to take a sabbatical. And right. I'm now scheming and planning and trying to figure out how we can make this show your sabbatical. Because if you will take a sabbatical for this show, I kid you not, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but if you will take a sabbatical for this show, I will quit everything. For that time period, I will quit everything and do nothing but this. All right? So if you could figure out how to make that work, to take a sabbatical for this show, I will do the same thing.
Fair enough.
I don't know how you're going to do it. Like, can we write a research paper or a book or something? Like, seriously, can we make that happen?
That would be great. I dig it.
You're not actually going to think about it, are you? He's like dancing. He's like, I don't know how I can do that.
I don't know how I could do it, but it's a lovely idea. I loved it. That's great. It'd be great. I would take you up on it. I'd make you quit everything. We'd play some games.
I would, seriously. If I could figure out,
I believe you.
If I could figure out a way to do it and not go broke, but seriously, folks, if he goes on sabbatical and we get to do nothing but this show and produce content for you guys, I will quit. I got to figure out a way to feed myself. But other than that, I will quit everything I'm doing, and we'll do that.
Yep.
Now that I've said that, how long is your theoretical sabbatical? Like, how long can you go there?
That's a good question. I honestly don't know. Like, t- 2 months? Something like that? I don't know. I'd have to look. That's a good question, though.
Can you imagine 2 months out, 2 months of wall-to-wall Gaming Uncensored content? Ladies and gentlemen, how much would you pay for that?
I think we'd lose everybody.
You think so?
They would be so tired of us. Because stop playing games.
Because that's what they've been asking for like 12 years.
That's fair.
You're saying if we gave it to them that they would run away?
I think the anticipation helps a little bit, you know? Like, man, I think if we gave them that much content, that'd be mind-blowing Gaming Uncensored level.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. If you can figure out a way to make it happen, we have the ability for Tommy to take a sabbatical, and if he takes a sabbatical, I will, as long as I can figure out how to feed myself and pay my bills, I will quit everything to do this show for as long as he's on sabbatical. You heard it here first.
There you go.
I can't believe I just said that, but now that you now that you know I just said that, you know it'll happen, because that's how things happen on this show.
That's fair.
Yeah. So,
by the way, while mentioning people who encourage us to do things, we do need to thank our Patreon supporters, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spiderwise, Spencer, Kavosh, and Chad. Thank you guys, obviously, for your support every week, or every show, which is definitely not every week at this point. Again, you want more content, that would get you more content. If you would like to be part of the Patreon crew, you can do that by going over to GamingUncensored.com and clicking on that Patreon link right there at the top of the page to participate on the roundtable, get early access to content, or get access to like the us playing Zelda videos, which are hopefully somewhat entertaining. We had a lot of fun. There are a few wonderful gems in there, and you might have to sit through a lot of maybe not so much gem stuff to get to it. But there are a few killer moments in those videos that were a blast, that we're both falling out of our chairs laughing. And so we had a really good time with those.
And granted, there was alcohol, and that helped. There was more than a few times in there I thought I was going to fall out of my chair. That's how hard we were laughing. So we hope you guys enjoy that. And we hope to get you more, because that's fun for us.
For sure. So, quickly, we need to talk about other things we've been playing, and then we need to get into news, because there is some news. Like I said, not a ton of news, but a little bit of news, and so we need to get into that. So, let me ask you, sir, what have you been playing?
Well, I'm going to talk about the thing that I have opened first, because I think it will be a new thing for the show to get into, and all those guys that we've talked about. We all know that we're all getting old, and we're all adults, and we all have a very limited amount of time. But I have literally been playing a game off and on for the last 10 years, and it's a browser-based title called O-Game. It is a strategy-based space simulator. So you're given a planet, you have to mine resources, you have to build defenses, You have to build ships. You have to build fleets. You have to do all of that fun stuff that we love, and it's really cool because there is literally no graphics. I'm looking at right now, and I wish Tommy said he created an account. I wish he could open it in front of him to back me up on what we're looking at. But these are literally static web pages that, for example, that if I wanted to improve a mine to the next level, and I had the appropriate amount of resources to do that, I click the button, and all it does is affects the picture a little bit to show that I am building up that mine. and it keeps track of the number of ships that you have and the number of defensive weapons that you have and so on and so forth. And it's all web page based. So I hate to admit it, but I was at work today and I had this open the whole day. And I was just, you know, I'd work a little bit and I would come back to it. And I'd work a little bit and I'd come back to it. And this is probably my third or fourth time to play, because the first two or three times that I played solo and got wiped out. Like, I'd get my fleet built up really good, and I'd get my stuff built up really good, and somebody bigger would come along and just wipe me out. And when that happens, I would get tired. I would literally, like, rage quit. Like, I'm out. I'm done. And then 2 years later, here I am back. So that's what I've been doing. I convinced you to create an account. And I think you're going to love it, because this is the type of gaming that you do during the day.
Yeah, it's one I will say that you've been talking to me about for years and years and years. I don't know when you start playing it, but I've
long
heard
time.
About this game from you several times. Yeah, so I finally I did set up an account. I haven't even gone through the tutorial yet, and so I've gotten as far as to see, oh, here's the tutorial, and then it got sidetracked with other things, and so. But yeah, I plan on firing it up as well. So when you sign up for it, if you do sign up for it, we're on a certain universe that I don't remember the name of, so I'm looking it up real quick.
It's
Oberon.
We're on the
Oberon.
We are on the Oberon universe, and I forgot to tell you, so this might be interesting. I'm actually playing on the United States server. So I,
oh, interesting.
So I don't know that we're...
I hope I am, too.
I think it defaults to the United Kingdom, so... Cause
I'll have to check
I've
on that.
I've had to switch it every time, and so I guess I'll have to get your information and see if I can search for you. Because I'm on an old game server in the U.S., and I don't think that's the default. So it'll be really interesting to see how that works.
Yeah.
But if you
interesting to see how that works.
If you're just now getting started, I guess you could start over on a different server.
Right. I've done literally nothing in the game at this point.
I'm excited about it because, again, I really feel like that this could be a show type deal. And for the first time ever, I have gotten involved with a gentleman who was attacking me and stealing my resources when I first got started because I didn't have any defenses. That's a thing in the game, is you pick on players that are inactive, that aren't paying attention, to bolster your empire, basically. And he thought I was inactive. And I sent him a message, and I was like, hey, dude, can we make a deal? And he's like, sure, you want to be a part of my my alliance? And I was like, cool. And every day, a couple of other guys get added. Like, when he was attacking me, the alliance just had this one guy. And then he added me, and... couple of guys get at it every day, so it'd be really funny if I brought in a bunch of you guys from the show, and we got to be huge, because when he added me, what he said was, we could rule the galaxy together, and I'm like, I love that idea, I love that. So I'm excited, I'm pumped. I've been doing that for a couple of days. Still playing Mankind Divided. I love that game. I've told you I love that game. I've been watching movies with Avery. Because Avery's into all the superhero movies and Marvel stuff and DC stuff. And so we've been watching movies together. And I watched Guardians of the Galaxy the other night and enjoyed that. I have to admit, you're probably gonna yell at me, but I watched it and I thought it was cool, but I also thought it was kind of stupid. So
seems fair.
Yeah,
I actually haven't seen it yet. It's on Netflix, and so we've been also watching movies. So I told you we went to Star Wars yesterday. We also today watched. What did we watch today? We watched a couple of movies today. We watched Hacksaw Ridge.
Oh, that's a really great movie. Yeah,
that was a fantastic movie. I really enjoyed that. And we watched the latest Harry Potter franchise movie, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, I think is what it's called.
Which yes.
Was also really entertaining. And we watched, I can't recommend this one enough, we watched Get Out.
I missed that one.
Jordan Peele movie.
Oh, yeah.
Man, yeah. It's great. It was really, really, really good. I dig that. It's a horror movie, but it's not like jump scare horror. I don't dig jump scare horror very much as like a psychological horror movie. It's worth seeing. It's really good. I was super impressed.
I have not seen that. Can you tell me where you saw that? Because that one I have not seen.
So this is why we've been watching movies. It's on HBO. And so we got a 7-day trial of HBO on Amazon. So we're just watching all the movies on HBO now, trying to watch as much stuff as we can in our week because we probably won't keep it going. And so we also today started watching Westworld. And so we've watched 3 or 4 episodes of Westworld at this point as well. We're not at work right now, so all we've done today is watch stuff on TV, and I've played a little bit of games around that.
You know what? I'm very excited that you're becoming a movie guy. I'm very excited about that because I've been a movie guy our entire 12 years of this show, and you're like, I'm not a movie guy. But you're slowly becoming a movie guy, and I'm excited because I think it's going to open up avenues for you and I to do more cool stuff on this show.
Yeah, I agree, and I will freely admit that a whole bunch of that is because of Alamo Drafthouse. We hated going to the theater. Like, that was the reason we don't watch a lot of movies, is because like the theater was just a pain. Like, people are obnoxious, and like the Alamo Drafthouse has totally turned us around to go into the movies. We still don't go a ton, but like if there's a movie we want to watch, we'll go see it at this point, which used to we hardly ever did. And so we see a lot more movies. That was one of the things, like, while we were scrolling through like the movies available on HBO, we're like, oh, we've already seen a bunch of these because we actually go to the movies now. So yeah, it's changed for sure.
I'm really excited because, you know, I love movies. That's my I always have. I'm really I'm gonna have to watch Get Out now, and
Get Out's really good. And like I was shocked by how good it was.
We may have to do a little review of that after I watch it. I'll see if I can't pick it up in the next few days, and we might do a little review. That'd be a lot of fun. I've been watching a lot of movies. I've been doing that, and of course we had holiday stuff. We had Christmas, and that was fun as usual. So I'm excited for about the next week. I don't have a lot going on. Like you, I'm not really working because, you know, it's the holidays. So I'm excited to maybe get to play some games.
Yeah. It's totally fine.
Absolutely.
Be a good thing to do. So all that being said, I'll talk a little bit about what I've played in the context of the news, because there's at least one or two that'll pop up in the context of the news. Let me mention at the beginning of this, the Steam winter sale is still live. And so that's dictated a lot of what I've played just within the past couple of days. So go buy games on Steam because they're cheap right
now. By the way, we talked. Before we get into the news, should I bring up the other thing that
Yeah, do it.
Okay. So,
I want to know what it is.
So I went to work today, which has not been a regular thing because of the holidays. But I went to work today, and one of my coworkers had their kid at work, and he had his Xbox One hooked up in the conference room. And I happen to be in there quite a bit because I'm the door greeter guy. I don't have to do much else. And this kid was playing, he was playing Dishonored. He was playing Call of Duty. He was playing a couple of other ones. And he had Minecraft in there, but mostly what I saw him playing was Dishonored and Call of Duty, right? And Here's what I want you to think about. This kid was in the third grade, right? So I saw what he was doing, and I thought, oh, that's kind of odd. And, right. And I told his parent, I was like, do you know what he's, he's playing Call of Duty in there, right? She's like, oh, yeah, it's cool. He's seen them all. It's no big deal. And so I was like, cool, whatever. And then lunch came around, and they went to get him lunch, and they were sitting in the conference room eating lunch while he was playing games, and he happened to be playing Dishonored too. And he was, of course, he's a kid playing as Emily, and so he's just cutting people up. And I could hear this person in the conference room going, oh, my Lord. And I'm like, I told you. This is what I told you. I said, these games are a little bit much for a third grader. And she kind of shrugged it off. And me and the other two guys were talking about it. And it was a really interesting discussion because at some point today, I felt pretty uncomfortable knowing that this was a young kid playing Dishonored and Call of Duty. And we talk about this thing quite a lot on this show. We used to, we haven't lately. But, like, I feel like this is a thing that happens a lot. And you and I have talked about it and said that parents need to be involved and know what's going on. And this person whose kid this was is a very smart person. And it was very obvious to me that she just was not aware of what's going on in these games. And so I just wondered, because you have a wife who teaches in grade school, right? And so I just wondered if this is a thing, like we've had ratings on titles forever. You and I have been talking about it forever. Do you feel like parents are any smarter than they were when we started talking about it? Because I think the thing was today was that this is what this kid likes to do, and she was just sort of like, she never sat down and watched. And she seemed genuinely shocked at a couple of different places. And I just wondered if you feel like that parents are getting smarter, because we can't blame there not being information out there anymore. It's on the box. We've got Google. We've got all of this stuff. And I think we still got a ton of third grade kids playing Call of Duty and Dishonored 2.
Yeah. I think that'll probably always be true.
Right.
Because it's definitely up to the parent to be proactive in that, insofar as we want those games to exist. This is a topic that we used to talk about a ton, and then Jack Thompson went away. And if you don't know who Jack Thompson is, count yourself blessed.
Right.
That you you haven't been listening to the show long enough to hear us rant and rail about Jack Thompson on and on and on. We had shows dedicated to the man once upon a time. But that was once upon a time. We talked about this issue a lot because it popped up a lot because this dude, Jack Thompson, was on TV all the time talking about how video games are to blame for all the terrible things in the world. And it seems like that's gone away, that people don't really buy into that anymore. And that's a good thing because that seems a little silly. But ultimately, yeah, there's still a lot of parental responsibility to be informed, and we both agree that there's also a responsibility on the side of retailers not to sell mature games to kids, to control that as best you can. You're not ever going to get it perfect, and that's probably fine. And so, yeah, are there going to be parents that let their kids play games that they shouldn't be playing? Absolutely. I was one of those kids, absolutely 100%. When I was young, I played games I shouldn't be playing. Now, to be fair, when I was young, the games that were terrible weren't terrible to like the level that games are terrible today. Grand Theft Auto 3, which I think as being like the catalyst for the new kind of adult centric games, right? Like the mature heavy games. I think of Grand Theft Auto 3 of being a very early one of those, if not one of the very beginning ones. So those, of course, there's games before that, but maybe not as much of the focus in the gaming world as being really violent and bloody or sexual or whatever it is. That came out when I was like my first year, second year of college, maybe my senior year of high school, somewhere right in there. And so when I was younger, we played plenty of games that were violent. We played tons of like GoldenEye. It wasn't like over the top violent. And in part, really, mainly, I would argue, because the graphics were so poor.
Right.
Right? Like so many of the games that we grew up with, even if they were violent, were so cartoony violent because the graphics weren't realistic. Once we got to more realistic graphics, I think it changed a lot, and the rating system, I think, becomes more important in that context. But my mom didn't care. She let me play whatever. I watched, like, terrible horror movies when I was, like, 5. My parenting is maybe not the best way to look at parenting, for sure, but I turned out mature and responsible and aware of stuff. And so all that to say, the kids that are playing those games, like, you can still turn out fine. I'm not worried that they're all going to become mass murderers or anything like that. But there is a responsibility on the part of parents. I think of, you mentioned Dishonored specifically. I had a case where one of the sexy sidekick's close friends, she has a son that's in college now, but they've been friends for several years. And so they first became friends, he was in, like, junior high. And he was really into video games, still is really into video games. And they obviously knew I was really into video games. And so I was like the gatekeeper in a lot of ways that this woman would like solicit advice from me through the sexy sidekick of like, hey, my son is interested in playing this game or that game, one of which that came up specifically was Dishonored, the original Dishonored a few years back. Saying, hey, he wants to play this game. Is it appropriate for him? Should I let him play this game? And so I was kind of the I was very careful not to ever be like, oh yeah, or no, definitely not. I would always want to give, you know, like a lot of context of like, here's what the content is. And if you're okay with that content, then sure. If you're not okay with that content, then you probably should say no. And so she asked about Dishonored, and I kind of just laid it out. Like, here's what it is. And this is, he was probably 16 or 17 at this point. Like I said, it was just a couple years ago. And so I don't know, honestly, whether or not like she let him buy the game. But now he's in college, and so I'm sure he plays whatever he wants at this point. But all that being said, that was somebody who specifically came to me for that advice to say, hey, should I be letting my kid play this game? And I think that's good. Like, just have somebody, you know, like if you're listening to the show, you're probably well informed. You're probably making good decisions, or at least informed decisions. You can make informed bad decisions, but at least you're informed about them. But you're probably making informed decisions. I think we're probably doing better overall as a society, and there's still going to be a lot of kids that are playing games that they shouldn't be playing.
Well, and the thing with Dishonored is, and I was making jokes during the day, in that we needed to teach the kid to sneak because he was going through Dishonored 2 as Emily. He was like a one-man wrecking crew, just stabbing people and shooting people with a shotgun. Like, I made the joke that we needed to teach him to sneak, and he's like, I don't like to sneak. And one of the other guys said, look, by the time he's done, there's not going to be any guards left, and he can sneak his way through the entire level. Nobody's going to know he's there because they're all going to be dead. And so that was I don't know, maybe again I'm getting old and I realize that, but there was a point today that I was genuinely uncomfortable, because if I were playing Dishonored 2 is on my system, I could fire it up right now if I wanted to, but if I did, you would lose me for the rest of the show. but if I'm playing Dishonored 2, I'm playing Dishonored 2 a lot differently than he was playing it. And if you play it the way he was playing it, Dishonored 2 is extremely violent.
And I honestly, like, I wouldn't let my 13-year-old play Dishonored, probably. Like, that's a little bit mature for him. There's a lot of, like, not only in like, just the gore level and that you're killing a lot of people, but in just some of the content and working through just some of the kind of emotional and ethical decisions that you make in the game. Like, it's just a little heavy as a little adult, and that's fine. Like, I've got a billion games that I'd let my 13-year-old play, you know, like, that are really, really good games that I'd love to play with my 13-year-old. Now, obviously, if you're 13, you want to play things that are gory and a mess and everything else. And so I get that, because I wanted to do that as well when I was 13. I wanted to play shoot 'em ups and violent things. I say all that. Let me be clear of something that I did when I was very young. I played a lot of Doom and a lot of Duke Nukem 3D at one of my good friend's house. And we were maybe 13, maybe even a little younger than that when those games were popular. And my mom, again, didn't care. She could care less what I played when I was young. She didn't have any interest in video games. She actually liked video games. One of the reasons I loved Legend of Zelda is because I played Legend of Zelda with my mom when I was young. So not that she didn't care about video games, and she wasn't informed about video games. She just didn't really care what I played. But I had a couple of really good friends, a couple of brothers, who their parents were pretty strict. But they had a PC, and I was both poor, and this was a long time ago, that we didn't have a PC, especially one that was capable of playing three-dimensional games. And so I would go over to their house, and like when their mom was grocery shopping, we would play Doom or Duke Nukem, or Wolfenstein, even before Duke Nukem. Duke Nukem was obviously terrible. But we would play those games like while she was out of the house, and it was so taboo, and it was so crazy. And like my buddy built like our junior high in Doom, like in the level editor, like built it, you know, like after Columbine, like that was a really like a red flag for people or whatever, like of a really sketchy thing. I was like, oh man, we were doing that a long time ago, you know, like shooting up our high school of demons, not of like people, whatever. But like, yeah, I totally did that when I was a kid, played violent games. Now that I'm kind of rethinking that some, in spite of kind of parents caring and trying to limit that, kids are going to get around it, you know, in different ways, even if parents are trying to limit that. Ultimately, I say all that to say, I think the kids will probably still more than likely turn out okay. I don't think video games are probably the thing that are going to ruin the kids. It may not be the best thing in the world for them. And I wouldn't let my kids play Doom at the age that I was playing Doom. But I don't think it's going to scar them for life.
Well, and like I said, I just wanted to bring it up because it's been a while since we've talked about it.
And, it's a good topic.
And this is the first time in a while. Today was the first time in a while that I was confronted with it. and I got to tell you, I was a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because
you're old, man.
Yeah. I had this fear that I'm like, man, I wonder if this is what my dad feels like when we do the show. I wonder if he worries about every time I fire up the mic, if we're like, you know, going to hell or something, you know. I don't know, but
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So that's a little different way to think about things, but I do know that I'm in a different space right now than I was even 10 years ago.
For sure.
10 years ago, I probably would have been, kids, all right, it'll be fine. But
yeah. We're 12, nearly 13 years older than we were when we started doing this show. So, yeah, it's a good topic to readdress for sure.
So, all that being said, that's what I did today, and it's going to be very interesting because he'll be back at work tomorrow with his Xbox. I got a kick out of it because he was trying to figure out how to download maps in Titanfall. Because Titanfall's another title that he got, which I would be totally okay with a kid playing Titanfall.
Yeah, that one doesn't seem nearly as big of a deal.
And so he was trying to download maps, and I said, that's cool, he can download them overnight and he'll have them in the morning to play. In a second, I saw him walking out with his backpack, and I said, what's up, dude? And he goes, I'm not leaving my Xbox here. And I'm like, that dude is going to be a hardcore gamer because he ain't leaving that console for one night. I got a huge
smart
kick out of that.
That's great.
Huge kick.
I dig that, too.
So all that being said, should we get to the news, sir?
We should. I'll move through a couple of things pretty quickly because we're running out of time already. But a few quick stories, and there's a couple of things that we'll definitely want to talk about more. A couple of things on Nintendo, first of all. The Switch has been a pretty big success up until this point, just based on watching Facebook and Twitter and social media to see how many people got Switches for Christmas, which was a lot. So the numbers so far, and this is not including holiday sales, is about 10 million units worldwide in 9 months that the thing's been out. A pretty good year for Nintendo. Nintendo picks this kind of up and down cycle to be on. They're on an up cycle right now, for sure. The Switch is killer. The games that they have out are really good. God bless them. Way to go, Nintendo.
I'm excited because the more of these that they sell, that means probably the odds are better that we're going to get good software.
Absolutely, which is a very good thing. That good software will have to wait until 2019 to come on an official 64 gig game card. So right now, if you buy a Switch game, it comes on a 32 gig game card, essentially like a modified SD card, a solid state card. They have plans to release a 64 gig game card. That's not going to happen until 2019 at the earliest, which is already presenting issues. I didn't know this, but in this story, I found this out. While Breath of the Wild was only about 14 gigs, not bad. Doom, which they released on the Switch, was actually about 40 gigs. And so if you buy Doom, the physical copy of Doom, the actual card only contains the single-player campaign. If you want to play multiplayer on the Switch, you have to download the rest of the game to your Switch, which doesn't have a whole lot of internal memory itself. What is the internal memory on the Switch?
I believe internal is 32? It's
got to be bigger than that, right? I'll look it up really
not
quick.
A lot.
Whatever it is, it's not.
It's not a lot.
It's not a lot, and there's no real there. You can put an SD card in it, so you can expand it some. But there's still a limit on that. And so, like, Doom takes up an extra 9 gigs to get the multiplayer stuff on there, and games are probably going to continue to be bigger. And so not having that added memory space for at least a year for Switch games may turn into a bigger issue.
Right, absolutely. And I'm going to stall while he looks that up because I'm curious.
I appreciate that. By the way, I have this mechanical keyboard you've probably heard me typing on that's ridiculously loud.
I dig that. I like it.
It went out. I do too. It's a great keyboard, but it's just so freaking loud. So I'm hoping the gating on the audio takes away some of it. But you probably heard a lot of my typing in there, and I apologize for that.
It's actually helping me to know when I need to stall.
Which is good.
So I'm good about that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's only 32 gigs of internal storage on the Switch, which is nothing. It's one game's worth of memory. You'll eat that up really quick. Again, you can add an SD card to that, but still, not a ton of available memory. Let me mention really quickly, too, because I was typing a lot earlier while you were talking about O-Game. I updated the poll on the website. When I was looking over there for the Patreon people, I realized that the poll was quite out of date because it was still about E3. And so I updated the poll to be your most anticipated games of 2018, what we did our special edition, year-end edition on. And so you can participate in that conversation, too, by going to GamingUnCensored.com and answering the poll question. You can actually put up to 3 answers on there of, I think, 12 different options. So if we didn't put your game on there, let us know on Facebook or Twitter or whatever that we didn't put your game on there. But new poll. Go to GamingUnCensored.com to answer the new poll question.
All the flexibility of the website. Thank you, Edie.
Right?
Thank you very much.
It's wonderful. Love it. A couple other quick things. Star Trek Bridge Crew, which is really pretty fun, now has a non-VR version. And so for people that don't have a VR headset that want to play it, there's an option to play it. Or for people like us, where we have one VR headset between us, we could actually still play the thing together with one of us in VR and the other one playing not in VR, which would be super fun. If you need like 3 people to pull off the game. And so we could totally do that, and it's a really good time. It's super nerdy and geeky, but it's pretty fun. And so I'm actually pumped. This is not something that happens very often where they take a VR game and then take out the VR requirement from it. But this is an example where they did.
I'm excited. We got to pick up a copy of that. Somebody give me that on Steam, Duff.
Did Duff already gift us a copy? Because we have a copy
he
of
did.
It.
I think it was from
Duff.
So. So somebody other than Duff, get me another copy.
It's fun. It's a really good time.
We would definitely play that together. Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely need to do that at some point soon. Fire that up and have a good time with it. So. A couple of iOS games worth mentioning. I'll mention 3, actually. I was only going to mention 2 in the show notes. But I'll mention one more because we played the Gladys production after the segment. There is a Portal meets Bridge Builder of iOS game. I don't know if it's on Android or not, but it's definitely on iOS. That's totally Portal. Like, it's licensed Portal content. So it's Gladys and it's what's the dude's name? Oh, no, I'm blanking on the guy from Portal
Wheatley.
2. No. The other guy, the voice, when you go back in time to the older Portal time. It's just a great name. What's his name?
Look it up.
I'm going to.
Portal 2 old guy.
Portal 2 guy is what I looked up, and it gave me Wheatley. Thank you. What's the other guy? His name? I'll find it. Cave Johnson.
Yes.
Cave Johnson is fantastic. So,
anyway, it's a bridge building game, which is in and of itself kind of fun, just physics based. Think of like World of Goo or something like that, but with portals and test chambers and all the humor of Portal, which is a blast. And so, if you have an iOS device, you should pick it up. Maybe on Android, I don't know. It's good though. Also, Civilization VI, which is a fantastic game, is available on the iPad, and it's the full game that's available on the iPad. They've always put out like dumbed down Civ titles on iOS, which I've enjoyed. Civ Revolution or something like that was what it was before, which was fun. But now you can do the full whole Civ VI thing on iPad. iPad only. You can't do it on an iPhone because I checked. But on iPad, you can get Civ 6 for $30. And so it's not cheap for an app, but it's still cheaper than the PC game. But it's the full game. It's the whole thing on iPad. And so if you're a Civ person, which I'm very much a Civ person, I have an old iPad, so it won't run on my iPad, which I'm kind of bummed about. But I have it on PC, so I'll be fine. But if you've got a newer iPad and you want a good, like, deep game, because again, it's $30, but it's a very deep, fun game. That's killer on the iPad, and I bet it plays great on the iPad. It's one of those games that would work super well on a touchscreen. So that's there, and also Inside, the Playdead game from the same people that did Limbo, which is just fantastic, is now also on iOS. So two really, really top notch titles that are mobile device games right now. Mobile games are really good at this point. There's just a lot of really good stuff out there. So either one of those, go pick them up.
Dude, if you had an iPad that would run that, you'd do that in about 3 seconds.
Absolutely. I would pay for that game again on the iPad. I think it would work that well on the iPad. I'm bummed that I don't have a newer iPad. My iPad, I have an iPad 2, which is really old at this point. I don't use it a ton anymore because it's really slow at this point, because Apple apparently slows down their devices as they get older. Thanks, Apple. Anyway, it's worth checking out. I think it would be really fun on the iPad. So, Ghost Recon, really quick, I'll throw this in here just because it's awesome. Ghost Recon Wildlands has a special going on right now where the Predator is in the game. Like, you could just randomly run into the Predator, or you could go on a mission to try to capture the Predator. Like from the movie Predator, the Predator is just hanging out in Ghost Recon Wildlands. Well, we talked about a game that doesn't take itself too seriously. You can't take yourself too seriously and put the Predator in it. But that's fantastic.
Here's my question. And that's something you haven't heard on this show for a while. But here's my question. What in the world do you do with the drool if you run into that guy? Like,
I don't know. Like,
you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, we used to watch the Predator movies when we were kids, talking about things that were not appropriate. But
right.
The thing that scared the crap out of me with that thing is staring into the camera, and you know you're looking right at it, and it's got that drool just hanging off, and you're like,
yeah.
Wow, like that would freak me out if I saw the Predator and Ghost Recon Wildlands. Like, I might actually run the other way.
Yeah,
I'd be like, I don't have enough guns to kill this.
Yeah. Just from how terrifying the Predator was from when I was young, that would still scare the crap out of me if I ran across him in a game. Like, just scare me to death. You know, like, the Predator is just terrifying to me, like, from a young age.
You know what I want to see, since we're talking about that? You know what would be awesome?
Uh-huh.
Riddick versus the Predator.
Absolutely. That sounds great.
Vin Diesel, where you at? Riddick versus the Predator. I want to see that.
Oh, I love it.
That's good
that
stuff.
That sounds like a blast. That would be great. PUBG, which I now will say as PUBG for reasons we'll talk about in just a second, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, is a officially, believe it or not, out of beta. It's not been a full release game until about a week ago. But it's now an actual full release game. Already has sold 25 million copies, but is now officially a released game, not in early access or beta or anything like that anymore. Which we celebrated by buying a copy. And so we now own PUBG. I will admit I've played two rounds of PUBG, if that's what you call it, rounds of the game this afternoon, and I spent a lot of time running around and not seeing anybody, and then suddenly dying. that was my extent of PUBG. Was, hey, this is, the map is beautiful. Like, I really dig the environments; they're pretty cool, and. So you get dropped into the world. You get to kind of, you parachute in, and so you kind of choose where you drop in at. You go and scavenge, try and find some weapons and some armor and that kind of stuff. And then you go try to kill people, and the map squeezes you into the center of it. And I lasted for a while both times just because I didn't run into anybody, and then both times I ran into people, I got killed. And so one time I was like 20-something, one time I was like 30-something. And so I consider that a success. I still don't quite fully get it, but I get it a little bit better. I'm interested in your take on it as well, now that we officially have a copy of it to play.
Well, I told you 2 months ago when I watched a buddy of mine from work playing it on my Twitch channel. He was streaming from work, and I hosted him. Because he was raising money for sick kids. I kind of feel the same way. I understand what the draw is. Because you can go for 40 minutes and not see a soul. And yeah. Then, like, you're running around, you're picking up armor, you're picking up cars, you're driving around, and you're feeling pretty good. And then all of a sudden, all it takes is one dude with a sniper rifle, and you will not see him. Like,
yeah.
You will not see him. You're going, I'm pretty good, and you're moving up in the ranks, and like, you're up to number 20 or whatever, and you're like, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. And then, oh!
You know? And then you're dead. Like, and it's like instant, like, one time I just got headshotted from a guy in NC, like just like chugging along, like up and gone. Like, I've just spent 20 minutes in this game, like trying to gear up and get ready, and then like one shot from a dude I don't see, and I'm out. You're just like, well, that's a bummer.
But
I could see, and this is again, if I
it's
had
addicting.
Yeah. It definitely will draw you in. If you had like people, so I've just played solo campaign so far, but if you had like a couple of people in a room, and I would hate to try to do this like over team chat or something like that, if you had a couple of people in a room together that you're like, you know, LAN partying this kind of thing up, throwing it back to 2000, I think that you could have a really good time of being like super strategic and trying to be really, really intentional and stuff. Like, when it's like every man for himself kind of thing, like, it feels a little bit terrifying the whole time, because you know you don't have that support, and so you're just kind of running around blind like, let's see what happens.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. I mean, you're dropped in this environment, literally dropped. And that's one of the things that I love about it. It's not like random, it's not like you start here. You're in a plane and you get the choice of where to drop. And you actually see your guy dropping, and it's fantastic. And I actually feel like that the environment is a selling point. Like, that's one of the biggest points of the game, is the environment.
Yeah. I would agree with that 100%. That wasn't what I was expecting getting into it. But the environment is really super cool, and why I'll play it more and experiment with it. So, yeah, there's that. There's a couple of, there's going to be several things we don't get to, so go by gamingandcensored.com and check out the show notes to see the things that we missed. I will bring up one or two more things really quickly. One is,
There's a great article that details a lot more about Death Stranding, what the kind of gameplay mechanics are, what the storyline is. So there was a new trailer that came out from the PlayStation show 3 or 4 weeks ago. That was great. That's like 6 minutes long. It has a lot of content in it. And Kojima's just putting this out there to tease people and make more questions than answers at this point. But one of the big game mechanics appears to be that you will die a lot in the game, which makes a lot of sense. But like that's part of the game mechanic is like when you die, you kind of pick up from where you die from and you go to this kind of purgatory area that it shows off in the trailer. And you can like gather stuff, get some items back or do some stuff like that or whatever. Which is all well and good. And then you come back to like the world that you were in before, but like with your death being part of the timeline in that like the world knows that you died when you did and you came back at a point in time after that and are continuing on. And so it's progressive in that way that like things that happened before still matter as opposed to like you dying and then going back to before the point you died, if that makes sense. He has this great analogy talking about the first games, you know, wanted to eat your quarters in arcades, and so the death mechanic was built around that, and this is trying to approach death in a different way. And so it's pretty fascinating. I would encourage you to go read through all of it. It also talks about what he calls time fall, which is like the rain that you see in the trailer that like affects like plant growth and like deteriorates humans and stuff. Like there's this time like mechanic that's based on this kind of rainfall thing that I don't understand at all. He swears that it's going to come together and make sense, and I, God, I hope he's right. It's just nuts. I just can't wrap my head around the whole thing.
You were about to say, I think I believe him, but then you were like, no, I don't know.
Yeah, Kojima's either a mad genius or he's just mad, right? Like, it's one of those two things, and I don't think we'll ever know which is true.
Right.
Like, he's either just nuts or he's crazy brilliant. And I still, after playing every single Metal Gear game ever, don't know.
No, and I think that's why he still has a job, because nobody knows.
Right? Because nobody knows. Which is very true. So go check it out. And then one more thing I'll mention, because it's been a topic on a past couple of shows. The loot box thing. So if you haven't enjoyed hearing about
loot
boxes,
which, by the way, old game has loot boxes. You don't have to do it, but awesome. They're there.
Great. So does PUBG. PUBG has plenty of loot boxes as well. So Apple has made a policy for things that are on the App Store that if they have a loot box in them or a loot box game mechanic, that the publisher has to disclose what the percentages are of getting the different items that are possible so that you know how likely if you're trying, if you're quote-unquote gambling, I'll use that in quotes right now, but if you're gambling trying to get a certain item, the developer, the publisher has to let you know how likely it is for you to actually get that item. And so it is mandating a way to give a little more transparency on what you're actually paying for when you spend real money on a loot box. This is something that's not going away. This was apparently spurred by a congressman from Hawaii who was talking about, I think it was Star Wars, an iOS game for Star Wars that had loot boxes in it, he was essentially saying this is gambling and drawing in our children to gambling or people who have a predisposition to that to spend a lot of money, and it's unhealthy, which I think you can make a good argument for, and that necessitated at least Apple feeling like they had to take action. I think there's a good chance that we'll probably see legal action coming in the not so distant future around this issue.
Okay, yeah, I agree, but what's the legal action? Like, I don't...
Like, essentially what Apple's doing voluntarily, making that mandatory that you have to disclose what odds are, or even taking it further, that you have to put a mature rating on it if loot boxes are part of it, because it's gambling.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be messy. Yeah, it's going to be terrible.
It's going to be messy, and I have to bring up the fact that I was given the option to try a loot box in O game using part of my resources that I had. I figure it's early, we've been talking about it, I'll try this and see what happens. And so I gave up some of my very valuable fuel to get this box with this random thing in it. And it's like a deal of the day kind of a thing. And of course,
yeah.
I was greatly disappointed. And I was like, well, that's stupid. I didn't really have deuterium to give up, but I did. And now here we are. And so, like, I still think the whole loot box mechanic is dumb. I don't really get it, but you're right. It's not going away.
Yeah. And I don't know that I think that government necessarily needs to get involved with it. I also don't know that I think they don't need to get, like, I just don't know. It's just going to be messy. Like, it's going to be an issue that's coming to a head, probably in 2018. Probably something we will talk about a lot, of what is the definition of gambling, what in gaming constitutes gambling versus buying card packs, which I think is a good analogy. Like, if you go to the comic store and buy Magic the Gathering cards, you're essentially gambling on good cards being in there.
Right.
What's the difference between that and what a loot box is? I don't have a good answer, but it's going to be a topic that comes up.
That's a scary thought. Because we're going to be talking about that for a while.
Yeah, for sure. So, all that being said, like I mentioned, there's news we didn't get to, so go by the show notes, gaminguncensored.com, to see that stuff we missed. Some really interesting stuff in there, actually. So, for sure, go by gaminguncensored.com and check that out.
I'm just thinking about this whole loot box thing going, this may be worse than Jack Thompson.
I know.
It may not be good.
If I have one prediction of 2018 right now, it's that we'll be talking about loot boxes a lot.
That's going to be fun. We do need to wrap this up because it is getting late. And I'm about 5 minutes away from somebody knocking on my door going, what the crap are you doing? We do need to wrap this up. If you would like to send us an email, it's gaminguncensored@gmail.com, or you can hit the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
509-GAME-210. And of course, if you leave us a message and it cuts you off, because it will,
after 3 minutes,
you can call us back and we will stitch them together because we are that cool. So, all of that being said, if you want to join us on Facebook, you can do that as well. We've got the Facebook there. We've got the lots and lots of video content on Patreon, lots of that going on. That's good stuff. What else, sir? What am I forgetting?
Twitter, @podcastgu.
You're still on the Twitter, man. It's been months. I cannot believe it.
The Twitter's fun. I dig the Twitter.
You're right.
All kinds of good gaming news on there.
Absolutely. Tommy's in the Twitter, folks. Watch out. And of course, we promise in 2018 to be around more often. We don't know how much more often, but we'll be around more often.
Especially more than the past month or so.
Boy, we've been really bad the past month or so.
Although, we got all kinds of Zelda content for you, so.
Yes.
There is that.
Yes, we do. So, all of that being said, we need to get out of here. My name's Jamie, that's Tommy, and for one more month, we are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.
I'm working on the outro.
I
was actually trying to stall for just a little bit because I accidentally unplugged my computer with my foot.
Oh! I'm sorry. You should have said.
No, it's fine.
So.
So I was just getting it fired back up, and I just missed it by a hair.